Well, as always, band, thank you so very much for that wonderful music. And Danette, great job. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. How many have been watching the Olympics at all? Some of them? Yeah. Well, this is not about the Olympics, but it brought to mind anyway. There is an Olympic athlete called Simone Biles. And about a month ago, she did something really incredible. She's the most decorated American gymnast there's ever been, and some say she's the best there's ever been. About a month ago in a competition in Indianapolis, she landed the Yurchenko double pike maneuver. First time a female gymnast has ever done it in competition. So that was pretty significant, and I saw the thing on video. It's amazing. It scared me to death. I could just see her landing right on her face, you know, but she didn't. She stuck it, so that worked. That reminds me of a story. Long way to get to that place, but anyway. Do you know why gymnasts don't use towels? They just tumble dry. Have to do something to make sure you're awake. Well, in this month of imagination, we're going to be taking a look today at imagination and healing, something that's in a lot of people's minds a lot of the time. I think one of the greatest examples we have of that is Charles and Myrtle Fillmore and the lives that they experienced, the healings that they experienced, particularly Myrtle. And I want to focus on Myrtle this morning and how she experienced her healing. Now, I love to take things apart and put them back together, and almost always, there's only been one thing I've never been able to get put back together again. I've told you this before, but we had one of those black box Kodak cameras, you know, when I was a kid, and it was not made to be taken apart. Or perhaps I said it wasn't made to be put back together again. That was the only thing in all my career of taking things apart that didn't go back together. My mother was not pleased. But anyway, I like to take things apart. I like to take ideas apart. And even though I spend a lot of time in prayer and meditation, I spend a lot of time in research when I'm working on sermons as well, to take things apart and put them back together again. And when I started taking healing apart, it got really interesting. And I need about 6 hours here for this sermon, so hope you don't have anything in the oven. Now, I'll tell you, if you take healing apart and looking at all the pieces of it and how it works together, and then I try to get it down as simple as I can to think about it myself and to present it. So basically, there are two directions that we can go when we talk about healing. We can look to the past or we can look to the future. Now, most of the time, what I've seen and experienced with folks is that we tend to look to the past. If something's going on for which you need healing, if there's some illness, some sickness going on in your body, you tend to look back before it happened. People say, well, I started feeling bad on June 1st, but May 1st I was feeling fine, so I want to use my imagination and go back to May 1st and recreate that experience on May the 1st before I got sick. Now, that will work to a point, but there's an inherent problem with that. Now, years ago, I preached a series of sermons called The Hard Sayings of Jesus and the teachings that he gave us that challenge our humanness. I think it's about time for me to put together the hard teachings of metaphysics. And here's one of them. Charles and Myrtle very clearly taught, and all the other metaphysical teachers as well, taught that everything in the outer had the beginning where? In the inner. Remember the creative process, mind, idea, expression. So everything that we see out in the world had its beginnings with an idea or a thought, including our physical condition and emotional condition. If there's illness, man, and this is the hard saying, I know it is, it's difficult to wrap your mind around it and to accept it, but play with it and see where it goes for you. But when we experience illness, there has to be a thought, a feeling, a belief in us that believes in illness, or it couldn't happen. If we could eradicate from our mind completely any thought of illness, we could never be sick, because it has to have the beginning in that thought. Now, the inherent problem with going back into the past for healing, going back to a time when you weren't sick, you weren't challenged, the problem with that is that at that time, even though you weren't manifesting any symptoms, there was a thought, there was an idea, there was a belief in you in illness, which allowed that illness to come. Does that make sense to you? So if we go back to the past, I want to go back to May 1st before I was ill, and I want to be that way again. Well, even if we can do that, inherent in us is the belief, the thought, the feeling in illness, and the illness will happen again. When the illness happens again, we'll remember a time when we weren't ill, we'll go back to it again, maybe get better, and at some point that idea, that belief in illness is going to come up again. So we get caught in this loop over and over again. We experience some kind of physical challenge, something that needs healing. We go back in the past and we heal it, we think, until that idea of illness comes up again and we become ill again. And then we go back and heal it, and then we go back again. And we live in this loop. I've seen it happen over and over and over again to people. So if that's an issue, then what do we do about that? What's the other possibility that we see Charles and Myrtle utilizing in their healing, in their experience, in their work? And that is to look forward, to look to a place where we've never been before. Again, it works to some degree to look back to the place before illness happened, but if the idea of illness is there, it's going to happen again to us. If we look forward to a place we've never been before and do not allow the thought, the feeling of illness in that place, then true healing can take place. And that's what Charles and Myrtle did. I want to read you a passage from Myrtle. It's kind of long, but it's good. Some of you have heard this before. This is Myrtle's words. "I have made what seems to me a discovery. I was fearfully sick. I had all the ills of mind and body that I could bear. Medicine and doctors ceased to give me relief, and I was in despair when I found practical Christianity. I took it up and I was healed. I did most of the healing myself because I wanted an understanding for future use. This is how I made what I call my discovery. I was thinking about life. Life is everywhere, in worm and in man. Then why does not the life in the worm make a body like man's, I ask. Then I thought, the worm has not as much sense as man. Ah, intelligence as well as life is needed to make a body. Here's the key to my discovery. Life has to be guided by intelligence in making all forms. The same law works in my own body. Life is simply a form of energy and has to be guided and directed in man's body by his intelligence. How do we communicate intelligence? By thinking and talking, of course. Then it flashed upon me that I might talk to the life in every part of my body and have it do just what I wanted. I began to teach my body and got marvelous results. I told the life in my liver that it was not torpid or inert, but full of vigor and energy. I told the life in my stomach that it was not weak or inefficient, but energetic, strong, and intelligent. I told the life in my abdomen that it was no longer infested with ignorant thoughts or disease put there by myself and by doctors, but that it was all a thrill with the sweet, pure, wholesome energy of God. I told my limbs that they were active and strong. I told my eyes that they did not see of themselves, but that they expressed the sight of spirit, and that they were drawing on an unlimited source. I told them that they were young eyes, clear, bright eyes, because the light of God shone right through them. I told my heart that the pure love of Jesus Christ flowed in and out through its beatings, and that all the world felt its joyous pulsations. I went to all the life centers in my body and spoke words of truth to them, words of strength and power. I asked their forgiveness for the foolish, ignorant course that I had pursued in the past when I had condemned them and called them weak, inefficient, and diseased. I did not become discouraged at their being slow to wake up, but kept right on, both silently and aloud, declaring the words of truth until the organs responded. And neither did I forget to tell them that they were free, unlimited spirit. I told them that they were no longer in bondage to the carnal mind, that they were not corruptible flesh, but centers of life and energy omnipresent. Then I asked the Father to forgive me for taking his life into my organism and there using it so meanly. I promised him I would never, never again retard the free flow of that life through my mind and my body by any false word or thought, that I would always bless it and encourage it with true thoughts and words in its wise work of building up my body temple, that I would use all diligence and wisdom in telling it just what I wanted it to do. I also saw that I was using the life of the Father in thinking thoughts and speaking words, and I became very watchful as to what I thought and said. I did not let any worried or anxious thoughts into my mind, and I stopped speaking gossipy, frivolous, petulant, angry words. I let a little prayer go up every hour that Jesus Christ would be with me and help me to think and speak only kind and loving, true words. I am sure that He is with me because I am so peaceful and happy now. I want everybody to know about this beautiful, true law and to use it. It is not a new discovery, but when you use it and it gets the fruits of health and harmony, it will seem new to you and you will feel that it is just your own discovery. And it goes on from there. Do you see what was happening there with Myrtle? Do you see what she did? She looked to the past and said, in the past I held thoughts that were not healthy. I held feelings that were not productive. They weren't loving. They weren't warm. They weren't caring. And what happens? She got sick. So when Myrtle realized that, was she going to go back into the past and recreate that experience from the past, knowing that those thoughts and those feelings that she held contributed to her situation? So what did Myrtle do? She turned away from the past and she turned to the future. She said, I am going to go to a place where I've never been before. Instead of telling my body it's weak and inefficient and broken, I'm going to tell my body it's strong, it's the activity of spirit. Instead of telling my eyes that they're weak, I'm going to tell my eyes that they're strong and they see with the power of spirit. She was creating a place where she had never been before. And what happened? She experienced a marvelous healing. It took her 2 years to do it, but she did it. She had been diagnosed as being terminal. She was going to die young. And everybody except her believed that. And then she heard those great words that changed her life forever. I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness or illness. She went to a place in the future where she had never been and embraced thoughts that she had not had and forbade any other thought to enter into that place. When you get things cleaned up around the house, you don't want somebody coming in with muddy feet, do you? When she got her mind and her heart clean, she did not allow any of those other thoughts, any of those other feelings to enter in. Those thoughts of fear, those thoughts of lack, those thoughts of pain, those thoughts of brokenness, she forbade those to be there. And she filled herself full with truth, words of truth, feelings of truth, thoughts of truth. And she experienced an incredible healing. We can do that too. I think that example that Myrtle gave us is a great lesson for us to realize that we need to move away from the past, let the past be the past, and move into the future, into a place where we've never been before. Now, sometimes people get afraid when they go somewhere they've never been before. And the first time I went to California, I was terrified. I'd heard about the traffic in California. We were going to be flying into San Francisco and then driving up and down the coast. And I'd heard all the horror stories and trying to find your way around and everything. I'd never been there before. So I was a little anxious about it. But once I got there, it felt okay. I learned how to find my way around. It was okay. Sometimes we're afraid about going to that place where we've never been before, having an experience that we've never had before because we don't know what to expect. However, using our imagination, we can create what is going to happen. Using our imagination, we don't have to fear that everything's just going to fall apart or nothing's going to happen. Using our imagination, I can create the possibility for pure health, for pure wholeness, for pure joy, for pure light. So it doesn't have to be an empty place. We can fill our minds, we can fill our hearts with those thoughts of truth, with affirmations, with statements that support us and encourage us. I love the language that Myrtle uses. She's talking about being a thrill with the sweet presence of God. That's a great word. A thrill. When's the last time you were a thrill? Throughout your whole being. That's what happened to Myrtle. And that's what brought about her healing, was being able to create that space, create those thoughts, create those feelings that supported health and wholeness. Create those thoughts and feelings that create abundance. Create those thoughts and feelings that create the healing of what is broken, what needs healing. Charles and Myrtle did that, and we can do that as well. I'm going to share with you a passage of Scripture from Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So whatever is pure and lovely and admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about these things. So I would encourage you in this week as we go from here, having given thought to imagination and healing, to watch your thought, not in a critical kind of way, not in a criticizing kind of way, not in a diminishing kind of way, but be careful about your thoughts and your feelings that you hold there. And when one of those thoughts and feelings comes up, you can say, no, you belong in the past. You don't belong in my future. When a thought or feeling of fear comes up, nope, that's an old thing. That doesn't belong in my future image of health and wholeness. When the thought of something going wrong, your body not being right, something being broken, not operating like it should, nope, that's in the past. That belongs back there. The future has no place for that. Because what I am creating in the future is health and wholeness, and I see it, I feel it. We've talked about imagination for 3 Sundays now, the ability that we have to see what is not seen, to feel what is not there, but to create it within ourselves. And you can see pictures, you can feel feelings, you can hear the words, however it is that works for you. But I encourage you to devote yourself this week to creating a place you've never been before. I'm going to be speaking next Sunday about imagining the unimaginable. And I'll touch some more on this, but the best you can, when you think about a place you've never been before, having your body be in a state of health like it's never been before, having your mind being in a place of peace where it's never been before, having your heart knowing the truth like you've never known before, that's within your power. That is within your opportunity. That is within your authority to create that with your imagination, a place of pure healing, a place of pure completion, perfect, whole, complete. And live not from the past here and back to the past and here and back to the past and here, but looking forward to a place we've never been before. That'll be wonderful for us. One other thing I want to share with you. How many of you ever heard Myrtle on tape? Heard her voice at all? Okay. Well, you're going to hear it this morning. I've been wanting to do this for quite some time to get Myrtle and Charles in here. Now let's see if we can make this work. There's a prayer called the Prayer of Faith. And it was written, a lot of people thought Myrtle wrote it because you hear Myrtle using it. But in the mid-1800s, Hannah Moore Cohouse wrote what is called the Prayer of Faith. And Myrtle used it in some of her writings. It first appeared in the late 1800s in Wee Wisdom. But this is Myrtle. Isn't that sweet? Make sure that's off. The most powerful line in that whole thing, I think, which resonated with Myrtle as well, is that God is my health, I can't be sick. And you know the story of her hearing a speaker use those words, I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit illness. And that completely transformed her life. And from there, she built that future of perfection, that future of healing and wholeness. And she lived from that place and she taught from that place. And so can we. So use your imagination this week and create that place of healing for yourself. And be diligent about it. Stick with it. Charles and Myrtle both worked for years to completely reach that place of healing, but they did. And so can you right now. God bless you.
Wow, thanks for that inspiration. You know, I think our spiritual life kind of ebbs and flows. We get inspired and we focus on it and we work diligently, especially if we have a challenge. And then things get good and we live a pretty cush life around here. And I for myself know that I don't keep up with it. Certainly, can you imagine 2 years straight, as Myrtle did, just focused. And I'm always inspired when I hear her story, because in 2 years' time, she experienced a healing and lived into old age. And it said that even when Myrtle passed away, she wasn't ill. She said her goodbyes to folks and she went home and went to bed, and in a few days she had made her transition. So while we tend to think of, oh, wow, this couldn't happen now, of course it can. And we do know people who are healed. So let us keep in mind that's what this spiritual community is about, holding the high watch for each other, being a place where we can be reminded on a weekly basis, daily for that matter, to keep up with monitoring our thoughts. And so as we think about the prosperity of Unity of Pompano and each and every person that we know it begins with gratitude and deepest thanks for what we already have. I think since its inception, the Smile at Amazon program, where Amazon gives to charities, and many of us signed up early on, it's probably 2 years now, maybe more, I've lost track of time, but we've gotten $937 from Amazon based on the smallest percentage ever of what your shopping has done. So tomorrow and Tuesday are Amazon Prime days. And I know lots of us, especially during COVID, we turned to shopping online at Amazon. I think in this quarter alone, we were given $100 from them. So as we know, every bit is helpful and we're grateful for it. We're grateful for all the giving that you have done. We'd really appreciate you going deeper and sending us a little more to get those seats totally cleared. But whatever it is, we know that giving feels good and blesses you as well. So let us remember our offering blessing that we've used for a long time, focusing on that imagination of good all around us. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we give up any thought of lack and allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. An ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it, and it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.